Romans chapter 7, verse 11. It says this: "For sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me, and through the commandment put me to death." And I'd like to preach for a while this morning from this subject: deception. Sin is deception. Father, we thank you for this time together this morning. Lord, I pray that you would help me to be accurate in teaching your word. Lord, I pray that you would give us open hearts to hear and really take this in and understand it so that we might stand against the schemes of the enemy. Lord, and when we do that, then he is defeated. We know you've already defeated him. Help us to walk that out in our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been thinking a lot and looking at the world around us seems to get crazier and crazier. And I think at times when it's gotten to such an extreme, it's like, how is this possible? How do people think in such crazy terms and perpetrate some of the evil that I would call it evil, corruption, perversions, harmful, destructive behavior? How is it that people that seem to be so worldly and educated, and how do they think like this? How do they do these things? And as I think about it, and it's something that I kind of came to a conclusion a long time ago in Scripture, but I've taken that and applied to this, and it's what I know, but when I ask myself this question, the answer comes. Randy, you know what the answer is. The answer is that they are deceived. This is what it is. It is the deception that is a part of this world. There's the only explanation that you can take reasonably intelligent people and see the vile, corrupt, perverse things that they do and think that it's a normal way to think is you have to be a deceived person. The word deception in the Greek here that we find here in this passage means something that is fraudulent. Or there is a delusion that is a part of it. It is an error, a mistake. It's not true. It's not factual. The normal our like Webster's dictionary defines deception as a trick. It's you're being tricked or a ruse. Now you might say, well, what does a ruse mean? A ruse means it's something that is specifically strategic. There's a purposeful strategy behind it. It's not a chance. It's not random. It's purposeful. And there is a strategy intended to mislead or trick or deceive, if you will, someone. Deception involves an intentional strategy. So here's something that I want us to consider. Everybody, for the most part, at our most primary foundational level, we all want to be happy. Amen? We like to see good stuff happen in our lives. You'd prefer good things to happen in your life rather than bad things, right? We all want what's best for us. And I don't mean that as a selfish motivation, but we all like when our life goes well, and we enjoy it, and we are blessed. Now, here's the thing. We know as Christians how that happens. God has a plan for us. He wants us to do well. He'll guide us and direct us by his word. Think about this. Jeremiah 29:11, very familiar to all of us, says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." So we know God's plan for us is good. It's to give us a hope and a future, not to harm us, to see us prosper. That's God's plan. Amen? We know that his commands, his word tells us how to live that out. Jeremiah 7:23 says, "But I give them this command, obey me and I will be your God and you will be my people. Walk in the ways I command you and it will go well with you." We're all for it going well with us, right? And that God's plan is for us, for things to go well with us. That's what we want. So, if God wants us to do well, and we want to do well, what's the best way that I can see happiness and success in my life? Follow God, amen? Be obedient to Him. What is sin? Sin is what? Disobeying God. So if following God, obeying God, is a promise that things will go well with me, and yet I disobey God, and yet I want everything to go well with me, and I turn around and I disobey God, why would I do that? What possible reason would I have for doing something that I know is not going to be for my best? There's only one reason why I would do it. Because I am deceived. Sin is deception. If we weren't deceived, we wouldn't sin because we all want God's best for our lives. And God wants his best for us. And the only reason we would go against that and not get it is because we think by doing this other thing, other than what God wants for us to do, is going to somehow benefit us. But it doesn't. But we think it's going to because we are deceived. Now, we all like to think that we can't be tricked, right? We all like to think we can't be tricked. We can. That's why I was so mad at myself at my 60th birthday, because I don't get got, and I got got, okay? And I was mad at myself. I couldn't believe I fell for it. We all like to think that we cannot be fooled, that we're smarter than that, that we're more sophisticated than that. Nobody's going to pull one over on me. And yet, that is the thing. Remember, deception is a purposeful strategy. Satan doesn't do things right out in the open, right up so that we can see it and understand it. I'm going to say this probably several times. The problem with this deception, is that we're deceived. And when we're deceived, by definition, we don't know that we're being deceived because we are deceived. If we knew we were being deceived, we wouldn't be deceived. So I want to look at a couple different aspects of deception today. Who is it that deceives us? Why are we deceived? Manners of deception, and how we open ourselves up to becoming deceived. So let me go quickly back to where we opened in Romans 7, verse 11. I have to say Romans 7 and put it in the verse 11 because it sounds weird to say 7-11. I sound like I'm going to referencing a convenience store. It says, "For sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me, and through the commandment put me to death." Simply put, Paul here says, sin deceived me. Is that what he says? Sin, it seized the opportunity and it deceived me. Sin deceived me. By its very nature, sin is deception. Because like I said, if we weren't deceived, we wouldn't sin because we'd know this is not going to lead for my best and my ultimate motivation is for my best. So I have to be deceived. And that's what Paul says. Sin is deception. If we're deceived to the point that we do not recognize it as a whole lifestyle, you know, we just live in this deception that Satan brings to us all the time, it eventually leads to death. And that's what he says. It puts us to death. So the first thing I want to look at here today is what or who is the source of this deception. And I want to go back to the very beginning here in Genesis 3:13. Genesis 3:13, you probably already know the answer to this, but it says, "The Lord God said to the woman, 'Who is it, or what is this you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me and I ate.'" This isn't news to any of us. We know that Satan is the deceiver. The source of deception is Satan. And we see this from the very, very beginning, that the reason that sin came into the world is exactly why I said Adam and Eve had a perfect life. A perfect life. Why would you step away from that? Why would you do something other? Gee, I don't want perfection. The only way you say, I don't want to live in perfection, is you have to be deceived. So there was no sin in the world until the first time a human being was deceived. And that's why sin happened, because sin is deception. Eve acknowledges to God that she would not have disobeyed him if she had not been deceived by Satan. So we see here in the very origin that deception comes from Satan, just as he tempted man to sin originally. Ephesians 6:11 says, put on the full armor of God so that you may take your stand against the devil's schemes. So Satan is the source of deception. And we know that he schemes in order to deceive us. We don't get deceived by something that is obvious. If it's right out in the open and it's obvious, we will not be tricked by it. We will not fall for it. There has to be a scheme in order to get us to fall for it. And Satan is the one who does that. We have to put on, that's why we put on the full armor of God. We need to be as equipped we can with as much God as we can, the word of truth, our salvation, the Holy Spirit, all these things that we armor ourselves up with, knowledge and righteousness and all these things, in order to be able to identify the schemes. Because the schemes are what? They're schemes. They're not, when a scheme is being perpetrated without your knowledge, that's a scheme. If somebody's scheming against you, they're doing things out of your sight, behind your back. They're setting up plans and mechanisms to trap you and make you fall so that you're not aware of it. Because if you were, you wouldn't fall for it. And if you were, if you saw it, you wouldn't be deceived. A scheme is defined as a secret. Satan's not telling you his scheme against you. It's a secret. So we have to be equipped with the full armor of God as much as possible so that when we see, when the scheme comes to light, we can identify it. That's the trouble, is that we miss it. We miss those schemes. But we know Satan is the one who is deceiving us, and he does it by secret and devious plans or actions. That's what a scheme is. The danger of deception, as I said, is that you don't know that you're being deceived because you're being deceived. That's why we must put on the full armor of God. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, and no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. He doesn't show you who he really is. He shows you something else. He masquerades. If you saw him for who he was, you would identify him. It'd be negative, it'd be bad, it'd be horrible, it'd be hideous. So what does he do? He masquerades as an angel of light, something that's beautiful, something that looks good. When you look at that chocolate cream-filled eclair, that's masquerading as something that you think is good for you. It's not, okay? That it doesn't show its true self. If we knew that the sin that we're about to partake in was going to be hurtful to us, harmful to us, we wouldn't do it. Hello? Nobody goes out and says, I think I'm going to go out and ruin my life today. I think I'm going to do something that's going to be it's going to be fun in the moment, but I'm really going to pay the price for it tomorrow. How many can say, been there, done that? I'm going to do something that's going to ruin a relationship. I'm going to do something that's going to really hurt somebody else that I care about. Nobody does that intentionally. We do it because Satan schemes against us and doesn't show us the truth of the situation. He shows us something. He shows us something that's like, oh, that'll be good for me. We see things and we think, Satan only shows us the aspect that satisfies my desire. I have a desire in me, or it fulfills some physical desire that I have, some longing that I have, some prideful thought about myself I have. I only see that aspect of it. It's that tip of the iceberg. That's what we see. I don't see the thing underneath that's going to run up, I'm going to crash into and shipwreck my life. Are you tracking with me? He masquerades. He does not show us his reality. John 8:44 says, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native tongue, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Every word, every syllable that Satan has ever spoken is a lie. Because that's his native tongue. That's the only language, in other words, that he speaks, is lying. And all lying originates with Satan. He is the father of lies. So that's where the deception is taking place. He tells us again, see this thing? It's really beautiful and shiny. And you like that, right? Yeah. He doesn't tell you about all the destruction that goes along with it. That's the lie. And the only power that Satan has over us is to get us to believe his lie. That's why he has to scheme. When somebody tells you a bold-faced lie, like the current administration's energy policies have nothing to do with your high gas prices, we all know that that's a bold-faced lie. It's Putin's fault, right? I don't know anybody that believes that. Satan does not tell us a bold-faced lie. He schemes and makes it appear as something that we can accept that's not true. The only way that he has power over us is if he gets us to believe his lie. And so that's what he does. He schemes and he lies. Why do we believe his lies? When somebody lies to you and you know that they're lying, do you believe their lie? No. The only way you believe the lie is if you are deceived. So that's what he wants. He wants us to deceive us. And we're deceived because of our own. Satan deceives us, but he knows how to deceive us. He knows what deceptions we're open to. He knows what we're potentially going to fall for. So, why are we deceived? Satan is the deceiver. Why are we deceived? Hosea 10:13 says, "But you have planted wickedness. You have reaped evil. You have eaten the fruit of deception because you have depended on your own strength and on your many warriors." We open ourselves, the first thing here I want to look at is we open ourselves up to deception when we have already been pursuing things that we're deceived by. He says, you've planted wickedness and you've reaped evil, you've eaten the fruit of deception. When we do these things, it multiplies itself. But it flows from what I see here as self-dependence. Because you have depended on your own strength and your many warriors. When we depend on ourselves, we think we're smart, we think we're strong, we think we're wise, we think we're crafty, we think we're capable, as opposed to God is strong and God is wise and God is capable, and I'm depending on my own strength and my own wisdom, I open myself up to deception. In fact, if I think that I'm strong and capable and all those kind of things, guess what? I'm deceived. Because I'm not. I made the statement on our last podcast that we did. I said, who is Randy? Who am I? I am the same person as Paul is. I'm chief of sinners. I'm number one. I'm chief of sinners. But if I allow God to guide and direct me, he can use me in great ways just like he did Paul. But I'm not deceived to think that it's my wisdom or my strength, my abilities. He says they planted wickedness. They had their own selfish motivations. From that they reaped evil and they ate the fruit of deception because you thought too highly of yourself. We become deceived when we think and depend too much on ourselves and seek after our own self-interest. 2 Timothy 4:3 says, "For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear." Again, we are deceived by Satan, but he can deceive us because we are seeking our own self-interest. He says, You know, you're not looking for sound doctrine. You want somebody to tell you what you want to hear. If I'm messing up, do I need somebody to tell me, is like, oh, you're great, you're wonderful, just keep doing what you're doing? Or do you need somebody to say, hey, you're missing the mark here? Well, who would I prefer to have around me? People that tell me I'm great and wonderful, right? But if I'm messing up and I think that I'm great and wonderful, what am I going to continue to do? I'm going to keep continuing to mess up. Why? Because that's what I like. It's what I'm, my own self-interest, selfishness. I can't tell you the number of times in ministry, I've had people who are involved in something, and you can show them word for word right in the Bible, it says this about your situation, which means you probably shouldn't be doing that. I mean, you can just read it. You don't even have to like look for an interpretation. You don't have to dig into the Greek. You don't have to look at what some theologian says about this passage. You can read it. And they'll go, yeah, well, but I don't believe that. People, honest, sincere Christian people who have lived their life for the Lord. It's the most amazing, and your jaw just drops open. And you realize at that time how fallen we as people are. For somebody who really is serious about their faith and a relationship with Jesus to just so openly and blatantly reject what's so obvious because it's not what they want. I have my very simple saying about life. People want what they want. When you boil it all down, people want what they want, and they will do some amazing rationalizing to justify them getting what they want. If the Bible says that you shouldn't be doing that, believe the Bible, okay? It's not what they wanted. So we reject this. If we're going to be selfish to that degree, we are wide open to deception. If we have a self-interest for something that is not what God wants in our lives, do you think Satan's going to use that to deceive us? Absolutely. We're like, you might as well put up on a big neon sign, Satan, deceive me in this area because I want to be deceived because this is what I want. That's what selfishness, self-centeredness, self-motivation, self-interest leads to. When we're that, I mean, again, I'm self-motivated. I want God's best for my life because I want the good stuff that God has for me. But when I just simply want the shiny thing that God says no is not good for me, and I'm self-interested to get it anyways because it's what I want because it's pretty and it's shiny, I am inviting Satan to deceive me in that area. My self-interest. You see, you get my, this is really important. You see my point? You getting that? If not, you come ask me about it to clarify. So, how does he go about doing this? Once we make ourselves open to being deceived, what manners did he use to deceive us? Psalm 38:12 says, those who seek my life set their traps. Those who would harm me talk of my ruin. All day long they plot deception. The way that he deceives us, we're deceived by people. I mean, almost always it's going to be through people. It's not just some random thing out there in the ether. God or Satan works through who? He works through other people. It says here, people seek my life and they set their traps. Those who would harm me talk of my ruin. All day long they plot my deception. You might think, well, there's nobody out there that wants... There's nobody out there that wants to do me harm. There's nobody out there plotting against me. That may be true of the person, but there is somebody who wants your harm and who wants to see you destroyed, and his name is Satan. And he will find somebody because of their self-interest who has opened themselves up to be used by him to get at you. unfortunately, I mean, I don't want to start naming names. What I've seen in my time in ministry, one of the most amazing things is families on families. It's just amazing. Because of a familiarity there, I guess, that, again, self-interest. Well, within the family, I deserve this. I should have this. I should be in this position. And there may not be originally any individual who wants to do you harm or plot against you, but Satan wants to, and he's going to find somebody. If he really wants to get after you enough, he'll find somebody who is willing to allow themselves to be used. And again, they don't know they're being used. They believe that they're doing what's right. I'm standing up for what's right. Why do they believe that? Because they're deceived. That's why we have to know God's word. That's why we have to put on the full armor of God. So when we're pounding the desk going, I'm right, and I'm doing this standing up for what's right and what's good, and I'm standing up for God. And there's this thing there where God's word says, yeah, but don't do that. You can go, oh, okay, I guess I better check myself, because we think I've said this before, and I've said it before, some of you heard me say it too many times, but bodies of believers, churches, you ever hear of a church split? You know why churches split? Because both sides think that they're right and that they're doing what they're doing for God. Now, I know that either one or probably both sides are being deceived, because God would not divide. He would not split the body of Christ. That's one of those where I say, when the Bible simply clearly tells you and you can read it and you're about to do it anyways and go, well, I'm still right, you are deceived. Because there is no way that you can know God's word and think that, that something like that should happen. I should be getting a big amen right now. There is no way that you can think that you're standing up for God and doing what's right when you're about to do something that is crystal clear from His word saying, no, I don't want this to happen. Yeah, but God, I'm right. I'm doing it for you. I mean, that's when you wish God would just go, hello? We need a good slap from God sometimes. Amen? People are out there. Satan will find somebody to use. And sometimes, like I said, if churches can split, he's using Christians. We open ourselves up to it when we have our own self-interest. Our self-interest we need to make sure it's God's interest. That it's never purely just self-interest. There are traps. They're being set out there all the time. Proverbs 14:8 says, the wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways, but the folly of fools is deception. So if we're deceived, God's calling us a fool. Prudent people do what? It says they do what? They give thought to their ways. When we're about to do something, it's like, should I really be doing this? Is this really what God wants? Is this God or is this me? Is this true or am I being deceived? When we don't apply God's wisdom to a situation, we're being foolish. And foolishness, he says, the folly of fools is deception. If we involve ourselves in folly, it's because we are deceived. Jeremiah 9:6 says, you live in the midst of deception. In their deceit, they refuse to acknowledge me, declares the Lord. To not acknowledge God means that we are being deceived. Because again, it can't be just self-interest. It needs to be God's interest in us. I want God's plan to be carried out. That's my self-interest is to see God's plan carried out, not my plan that I just like the shiny thing and I want it. It'll make me feel good. When we surround ourselves, and I want to read that again. You live in the midst of deception. It's really important who you surround yourself with. Do you live in the middle of a bunch of deceived people? Do you look at people's lives? If you have a lot of people around you who have crazy lives, then you live in the middle of a bunch of deceived people. If you have people's lives around you who are they're in turmoil, there's always heartache and difficulty and all those kind of things, conflict and you know, in relationships and all that kind of stuff, you live in the midst of deception. Well, what's wrong? What's the problem? I can't help these people are all like that. Oh, yes, we can. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. If you're going to keep bad company, what's it going to do? It's eventually going to do what? Corrupt your good character. So in other words, don't live in the middle of bad company. I'm not saying don't care about people, don't try to help them, but you need to set the terms. You need to say, you know, I'm not looking down on another person here, but I govern this relationship. I influence you because I'm the one doing it from a godly perspective. I'm not letting this person influence me. And the problem, though, is a lot of times in the world, in the worlds where we operate out in our daily lives, not in church, it's easy here, but out in our daily lives, there's like a dozen of them and there's one of you. If you're not incredibly diligent, eventually it's going to catch up with you. You live in the midst of deception. Well, know that. We all do. If we operate in the world out here, we all live in that environment. And it's going to catch up with us sooner or later if we don't control it. So last thing, how do I really open myself up to deception? Luke 22, verses 3 through 5. Then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12. And Judas went to the chief priests and the officers of the temple guard and discussed with them how he might betray Jesus. They were delighted and agreed to give him money. What was this opening? What was the opening that Judas had that he could be deceived to think that it was okay to turn Jesus over to the authorities? It was greed. Every one of us are motivated by different things. For some people, it might be like Judas, it's money. I mean, we all have our things. For some people, it might be, you know, oh, I want the attention. I want fame and notoriety. For some people, what we see going on in the world around us today is mostly people who want, they want power. We have people, they want power. They want power, they want prestige. They want the ability to control other people's lives because it elevates them. You know what you find out with people when they want to control other people and be so that they're elevated? It means that they're people of really low self-esteem. We have crazy people leading us who have no self-esteem, so they want to control the rest of this country so that they can feel good about themselves. It's a sickness. That's the opening that they give Satan. It's why they do such crazy things that we can all look at it, and it's so obvious the lie that we're being told, and they can't see it because they're blinded by their desire for power and position and prestige and money. John 12, 5 through 6 says, why wasn't the priest, and this is what we know that Judas was motivated by money. It's not just here that he agreed to betray Jesus for money. We look back when he was, you know, traveling around with Jesus in John 12, 5 and 6. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It's worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. And who is this referring to? It's referring to Judas. We know that he had an issue with money. So what happens? How could Judas be deceived to betray Jesus? It's because he gave Satan an opening, an area of his life where he could be deceived because that was an area of his own personal self interest. That was the shiny thing that he longed for. And so we have to make sure that we don't give Satan open areas where he can come in and deceive us. 2 Samuel 11, verses 2 through 4. One evening, David got up on his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, "Isn't this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam and the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" Then David sent a messenger to get her. She came to him, and she slept with him. Then she purified herself from her uncleanness. Then she went back home. David was deceived because of his lust. It was an area of his weakness that Satan knew, and he used it to deceive him. There was no way that David would think that this was okay if he did not have an area of weakness that Satan could deceive him in. Do you think David knew the Ten Commandments? A man after God's own heart? Thou shalt not commit adultery? There's no way David didn't know it was wrong. Except that David had a weakness for the babes. And Bathsheba was a babe. The only way that we can guard against things like this, like with Judas, with greed, money, David, with women, is that we have to know our own weaknesses. We have to know where we're susceptible. And that is one of the hardest things to do, is to be honest with yourself about yourself. It's easy for me to be honest with you about you. I can spot your weaknesses a mile away. And even if I'm aware of mine or can spot them, I oftentimes ignore them because it's not comfortable and it's not convenient. To be really honest with yourself about yourself. That's why, you know, just say it right up front. There's nothing good that lives in me. Use that as a starting point. Because that's true of all human beings, according to Scripture. Here's another problem David had in this with Bathsheba. 2 Samuel 11, 1. In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rahab, but David remained in Jerusalem. What happens in the springtime? Who goes off to war? Kings. Where was David? In Jerusalem. David wasn't where he was supposed to be doing what he was supposed to be doing. And that's when he saw Bathsheba. If he'd have been leading his army, this would have never happened. If he'd have been where he was supposed to be, doing what he was supposed to be doing, this would have never happened. Do you think that was a part of Satan's scheme that kept him from going with the army and doing what he was supposed to do by leading them? So that then Bathsheba just shows up one night out there within his view, bathing. It's a part of the scheme. I'm going to skip a little bit here. Let's look at Isaiah 14, 13 through 15. One more example. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly. And the utmost heights of the sacred mountain, I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself the most high, because you are brought down to the grave, to destroy to the depths of the pit. But you. Who is this referring to? It's referring to Satan. The original deception was Satan himself. That he thought that because of his beauty, because of his glory, he should be what? He should be elevated above the throne of God, he says. He said, I will ascend. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. He The original deceiver deceives. He knows the mechanism. He knows how to get us to go against God's will because it got him. His own personal self-interest rather than God's interest. His interest was what? I want to be elevated. I want to be recognized as more beautiful and greater. That's what I want. That was what he wanted. And his own self-interest caused him to be deceived, to think that he somehow, some way, he could become elevated above God. But if he fell for it, now just think about it. He was this glorious, beautiful, you know, cherub, angel, however you want to say it, you know, beautiful and glorious, and beautiful music came out of him and all these, you know. If he could be deceived, then what do you think he realizes about all of us? That we can be deceived. If somebody is glorious and beautiful and intelligent, wise as he could be deceived and fall, then we are open to deception too. So it is the very thing that Satan has been using against every one of us ever since. Sin and deception are one and the same. No rational person would sin, disobey God, unless we were deceived. So let me end up where I started. Why do so many people seem to be promoting things in our government and our culture that are so obviously destructive? Downright evil sometimes. The only explanation is that they are deceived. These people are deceived because of their own desires, their own lust for power or importance, because of their pride, because of their greed. They are open to deception. They believe that they have been deceived to think that if we follow their plan, that it's going to be, it's going to benefit. There's going to be a benefit to it. I don't know if anybody saw this. There was a woman being questioned by a congressman this past week. I think he's a Senator Johnson. And he asked this woman if men can become pregnant and have abortions. And her answer was, yes. One word answer, yes. You're deceived. But here's the thing. She believes that saying men can get pregnant and have abortions is beneficial. She really believes that. But she believes there's a benefit to promoting that idea. And that benefit is for that few extreme out there on the margins who have like a gender dysphoria or something, we don't want to hurt their feelings. So we will allow to say that yes, in fact, men could. What you call a true believer. She truly believes that by having this line of thinking, there is some benefit to it. When all of the rest of the people that are not deceived by this go, that's destructive to our culture. It's destructive to our society. It is not benefiting that person who is mentally ill. They should get the psychiatric care that they need. But she's deceived because she believes that what she's doing is beneficial. She doesn't think she's ruining that person's life that she's trying to support. It's a deception. We could make an endless list of ways that we open ourselves up to deception. I mean, it could be, you know, again, greed, lust, pride. I mean, anything that we have in us as a personal desire that's out of balance from God's will, I mean, Satan can use. But here comes the good news. 2 Corinthians 2:11. In order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. God says we can be aware of these schemes so that we are not out-schemed, so that we are not deceived, so that Satan does not outwit us. God wants us to have the tools to be able to identify Satan's schemes and therefore deceptions. That's what God, he wants us not to be outwitted. How do we do that? We know this. We know the God, we know the Word of God. We know what's true. So that when Satan comes up and says, you know, this church really needs to split. No, the Word of God says that we're not divided, so no, we're no. We have the tools. We don't have to be deceived. If we will stick with the truth of God, pursue Him, put His interest above our own, stand on the truth, then when the scheme comes, we can identify it and we will not be deceived. 2 Timothy 2:26 says, and I'm going to insert some alternate words here to make it personal for us, and that we will come to our senses and escape the trap of the devil who has taken us captive to do his will. He says that we can escape it. We can come to our senses. God makes it possible and he wants us to come to our senses so that we are not deceived. Sin is deception, but we don't have to be deceived. If we know God, if we know his truth, if we know his word, then we can stand and not be deceived. If Eve would have stood and said, when Satan said, God said doesn't want you to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because if you eat of it, you'll be like him, knowing good and evil. That was the truth, but he did it in a deceptive way. Her own self-interest. What did he use? He used her self-interest where she wanted to be like God. When Satan said, God doesn't want you to eat of this because you'll be like him, knowing the difference between good and evil. Was that true? Yes. But he played on the opening that she gave him by wanting to be like God. And so she said, oh, well, then there would be a benefit to it. And so I'll eat. When God had told her, Eve, there's no benefit to you knowing the difference between good and evil. Just don't do it. That's when we know the Word of God. It says, don't do that, because no, there is no benefit to it. And Satan uses our own desire and said, yeah, there is a benefit to it. I know you want to be, you know, you love God, you admire him, you don't want to be like him, so eat it. That's why he doesn't want you. And she was deceived. But we have the Word of God, so we don't have to be. Amen? Sin is deception. Let's not be deceived. Let's get all the good that God has for us. And whenever we do fall into that trap, then we repent and we move on. But understanding that, you know, we're all open to it. We all have our areas where Satan can deceive us. Amen? And that's what we have to guard against. But we can't guard against it unless we don't understand that sin is deception.